I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beam me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And happy Monday to you. We come to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How we doing, everybody? Appreciate you being with us. I'm feeling good. I'm doing well.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hopefully you had a great weekend. I love Thanksgiving. I like Thanksgiving week. You know, you get a four-day weekend coming up. It's all about food, football thrown in there as well, family, unfortunately, some that you want to see, others that you don't. That's okay because makes up for it with food. So I'm excited. I'm in a good mood. Today's show has been great thus far already. And we had Trent Dilfer join us in the first hour of the show. And Trent was great as always, dropping some Dilfer's dimes. And I thought it was interesting because he was talking about thick body, twitchy guys. Thick body, twitchy guys. And it got me thinking how perfect that is as a description for Mraz. Now, you guys know that a couple of years ago, now about a year and a half ago, was the infamous Young Guns, Mraz's flag football team, and the Mr. Six Small Blocks in a massive, epic playoff tilt for the Long Island Flag Football League. And it was so big that I decided I'd have to call the play-by-play of it with my longtime friend and color analyst, Penns, who you heard of the PGP last week. And we would broadcast it on Facebook Live. And no joke, me and Penns went out there, had our sheets, had our rosters, had our information, did pregame interviews, had the microphone set up and called it on my phone with the video for Facebook Live. And I thought, as great as Penns is and was that day, I mean, we went back to student radio in college together where I would do the play-by-play hue to the color. As great as he was and is, I did feel as though when I heard Trent Dilfer talk about thick, twitchy guys, imagine Trent Dilfer in our booth. Imagine Trent Dilfer calling the Young Guns in a three-man booth.
First down, shotgun again. Floody ice, rolling right over the middle to Mraz, and he drops it. Mraz dropped it.
He's a thick body, twitchy guy. You don't find that a lot.
What a crucial mistake and a drop by Mraz.
I see superstar in the making.
That is a disaster. That team is trying to go up by two scores. Mraz is wide open in the middle, and he can't even bring it in.
You don't find a lot of thick body, twitchy guys.
This is a guy that said the team that he was playing couldn't win a Super Bowl, was undisciplined, and there's Mraz making a boneheaded mistake himself.
I actually heard boos from the sideline.
But he's also thick.
Trent's a huge fan of yours, calls you a superstar in the making, thick body, twitchy guy.
I'm a big fan of Trent's as well. It should be noted, I did score a touchdown yesterday in a playoff game.
Yesterday, another playoff game for the Young Guns?
Yeah, full wild card round. We had a rough 5-4 season, but we got hot at the right time. We started 1-4, four in a row. And yesterday I got in the end zone. And I had a big 20-yard run and scamper as well.
Catch and carry?
Catch and carry. Yeah, it was a big day for the tight end room.
Who'd you guys beat?
We beat Lily Flanagan's, a bar sponsor team, 29-7. to advance to play Revolution next week.
Revolution in the divisional round?
This will be the division championship game, the same game that we beat the small blocks in. We're back in another division title game, baby. Three wins away from the old Lombardi.
Is the iconic Mr. Six still playing?
Mr. Six's team went up a division.
Oh, he's still playing, though.
He came back. Finally, he looked healthy from the Achilles pop that obviously tragically took his legs from him.
It was a little bit like Andrew Luck. You never knew if he would play again. He took multiple seasons off.
Well, no, he came back last season, but came back too soon. Wasn't the same player. This season was the same player. Team moved up, thought they could, you know, be big for their britches, and they got blown out in a B division playoff game yesterday. They're out. We play on.
The problem with the small blocks have always been infighting. It's always been lack of leadership, coaching, questionable coaching, and team chemistry. They always were infighting.
Finger pointing. Plus, when you have Six on the team or Mr. Six, it's always about just getting him the ball and not anybody else. You can't play for that kind of team.
Thick body, twitchy guy. So let's talk about this Dallas Cowboys team, okay? Because you know what's going to happen. We now know what's going to happen. This is now written in stone, everybody, so be forewarned. Washington just lost its quarterback. The Eagles are sinking like a rock. The Giants have been out of the divisional race since mid-September. And that means the Cowboys, quote-unquote, getting hot at the right time. Winners of two in a row now, beating the Eagles and now the Falcons. 22-19 yesterday means the Cowboys are definitely winning this division. They're definitely hosting a playoff game. And as soon as that happens, Jerry Jones is going to bestow upon Jason Garrett a brand new 10-year contract extension. You know it's going to happen. This is now so obvious. Cowboys win the division at 8-8, host a playoff game. Jerry has his excuse to give Jason Garrett a lifetime deal. And what has happened to the Atlanta Falcons?
So it's 42 for the win. Operation Good, 42 away. Maher for the win. Cowboys win.
Thought we did a really good job handling it, made some big third down conversions. Dak made some big plays. The guys around him made some big plays. We got ourselves down into field goal range, got a little bit closer, and then Brett did a great job coming back and drilling the kick.
That's Brad Sham, the great voice of the Dallas Cowboys. Then, of course, Jason Garrett after the win. So the Cowboys moved to 5-5, and now we're just a game back of Washington. But again, as I mentioned before, now that Alex Smith is gone, the answer to all questions about Washington is no. Nope. No. No. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys would now have to gag this whole thing away because it's lined up perfectly for them. What's amazing is that the Dallas Cowboys, who had been known as a run-first team that couldn't stop anybody, is now absolutely a defense that can make the playoffs. And what you're seeing is they finally realized, just put the saddle on Zeke. Zeke is the best running back in the league at a head of steam up the middle. He's better than Gurley. He's better than Saquon. He's better than anybody else. You hand him the football over center or between the two guards, and you just let him eat, and he's going to torpedo or missile or bowling ball his way to 3 to 6 yards on every carry. And what they did yesterday was they threw the saddle on Ezekiel Elliott, 23 carries, /122, and a touchdown. And they also let him catch out of the backfield, 7 passes, 79 yards. Ezekiel Elliott combined for 200 yards of offense. This is exactly what you need to do. And you know what else you do? You don't make Dak Prescott be a pocket passer, because he's not. You let him run little waggles and motions and RPOs, and you get him out into space and even run the option with him a couple of times. But just let him be elusive and slippery and run it, because what you're doing is Ezekiel Elliott is in his early 20s. So as a running back, use as much of Ezekiel as you can right now. And for the time being, just let Dak be what Dak can be, which is a limited passer, but extremely elusive in trying to bring down, and he can move the chains that way. So this is what the Dallas Cowboys have needed to do the entire time. You don't have to do too much. Your defense is good enough. And we can see how this thing is going to unfold. The Cowboys win this division at 8-8 or 9-7, and all is going to be fine with Jason Garrett, which is hysterical. As for the Falcons, you know, I tweeted Dan Quinn, get him out. And I think some Falcons fans got defensive about that. Why? He went to the Super Bowl. They went to the playoffs last year. It's injuries. It's this, it's that. And that's fine. But herein lies the problem with Dan Quinn. Last week, a game on the road in Cleveland to keep your playoff hopes alive as you finally had seemingly turned the corner yourselves and you come out and play one of your worst games of the season. And then at home, with a chance at redemption, a chance to steady things again and say, okay, last week was an aberration, you put up a total of 19 points and again lose that type of game. And to me, what we've seen from Dan Quinn is when he had Kyle Shanahan run of the offense, the Falcons looked great. And ever since then, it's been a slow or quick erosion. You know, the Atlanta Falcons are the most talented team in the NFC. We don't talk about them that way because they haven't won anything. But they went to the Super Bowl 3 years ago now, really 2 years ago, three seasons ago. And everybody recognized, oh my God, this team has talent at every single position and it's young. You know, does it not feel like a billion years ago that Matt Ryan was the NFL MVP? Julio Jones is still, if not the best wide receiver in the game, one of the best. They've got talent at wide receiver. They've got talent at running back. They've got a league MVP in his prime at quarterback. All across the defense, they've got athletes and pass rushers and playmakers. There is no reason, and I know they've had injuries this year, there's no reason the most talented team in the NFC since that Super Bowl loss has not won a playoff game and will miss the playoffs this year. It's unacceptable. It is unacceptable. And it's because they took Shanahan out of the offense and that everything has started to crumble. And I'm sure Dan Quinn's a fine guy, but what you've seen is he's getting exposed. When the offense was great, everything went great. But man, everything has gone wrong for the Falcons under Dan Quinn the moment they went up 28-3. I think his history and their history is different if they win that Super Bowl, if they hold on to that lead, if they don't totally self-combust. But you know that goes to Dan Quinn's decisions in coaching-wise as well in that Super Bowl choke. Since 28-3, the Falcons have arguably gotten less out of more than anybody else in the NFL. Since 28-3, it has been just a constant demoralizing week after week. There is just no excuse for this Falcons team to be 4-6 this year. It's none. And don't give me injuries, because everybody is dealing with injuries. Everybody. And yes, they have had some significant injuries. But it's not as though when they got guys back, they suddenly were winning all the games they're supposed to. Over the last 2 weeks, here's the thing. At Cleveland, home against Dallas, a great team wins both of them. A good team wins one of them. A bad team loses both. Right now, under Dan Quinn, the Falcons are a bad team. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. The comparisons, the parallels to Joe Theismann, just scary when it comes to Alex Smith yesterday. Just how gross was that? We will discuss next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24-7. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Here comes the blitz. They come McLean. Alex Smith under heat. He's steamrolled at the 40-yard line. That takes him out of field goal range. And Alex Smith is hurt. Alex Smith is hurt. He clutched his right knee as he went down, and he is hurt. And FedEx Field is silent. He's hurt bad, man. Look at him. He's in a lot of pain.
I know it was very painful for him and heartbreaking for a lot of people. You know, he's a great guy and a hard worker and one of the key leaders on this football team. So these things happen in pro football, unfortunately. Just hate to see them happen to a guy like Alex. But knowing the type of guy he is, I think he'll bounce back.
Washington's Football Radio Network joining us with that call and then also enjoined into with Jay Gruden, rather, as he discusses the gruesome injury to Alex Smith yesterday, which is just so creepy. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can go behind the scenes with the DA show by following me on Instagram and check out the IG stories there at Damon Amendo for behind the scenes of the Mothership and the DA here on Instagram stories at Damon Amendo. So how creepy is it that 33 years to the day from Joe Theismann's injury, Alex Smith goes down, with Joe Theismann in the building in Washington and the same final score with Washington losing? All of that very, very bizarre. And Joe Theismann never played football again. When Joe Theismann was carted off that field, he felt like he would play football again, but he did not. The prognosis was he would play football again, but he did not. And Joe Theismann has oftentimes talked about at that moment when LT and the New York Giants ended his football career, having to focus on himself no longer identifying as a football player, but identifying as Joe Theismann, something else. And that's how he had to adjust his life. My guess is, and I don't know, but my guess is that health, surgery, wellness is better today than it was 33 years ago in the mid-80s, and that Alex Smith has a better shot at returning to play than Joe Theismann did. But I suppose it's possible, breaking your tibia and fibula, I believe, that Alex Smith never plays again. And what's weird was, just like Joe Theismann's injury, if you watch Joe Theismann's injury, from some angles, you don't think it's that bad. It just looks like he's kind of getting horse-collared a little bit awkwardly by LT and is brought down to the ground. And then you see the angle where his shin basically splits in half and his leg crumples and folds. You're like, I can't see that. And oftentimes, TV and replays and specials on it and NFL films don't show the gruesome angle. Same thing yesterday. It was not immediately upon seeing it you knew that it was gross. It looked like, in a lot of ways, just a normal football tackle. And then you saw his foot waving and dangling to you. Like, hello, I'm here. Like, ooh, that's too dangly. That's just a foot hanging like a stocking over the Christmas fireplace. And you just start getting, like, totally sick. Same thing as the Theismann injury. You watch it from a certain angle, it didn't look that bad. And then you play it through and go, oh. Mraz, in real time, did you realize how gross it was, or did you have to see it a couple of times?
I love the gross injury. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say it like that. I am a sicko for watching gross injuries. I don't wish them on anybody, I don't watch them, but I don't process how bad they are until I see them 2-3 times. There's something in my brain that has to keep watching these. So,
well, like, no, reading.
Yes, exactly. So, yes, I don't wish that injury on Alex Smith, but no, and the first look, I was like, oh, that's bad, but let me see how bad it is again, and it was like the third time, I go, oh, that's going to be real nasty.
The tough part is when you're seeing the foot from behind just kind of...
The moment anything points the other way, that's the end for
dangle.
Me. Yeah.
What was grosser, Alex Smith yesterday or Gordon Hayward last year?
I think it's still Gordon Hayward. And the only reason I'll say that is, like, at least when the Alex Smith thing happened, there was, like, semi-bodies. At Gordon Hayward, it was just like an ISO shot of him when his foot turned around. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, there was no football madness that had to be done. So, for me, Gordon Hayward's foot going basically 90 degrees the other way. Is it 90 or 180?
Well, 90 would, yeah, it's It could be either, I guess, because 180
basically looked like it was completely the other way. That's not 360.
No, 360 would be spinning all the way around at the same angle again.
So half of that is 180.
Right.
That's what I meant. Gordon Hayward was about a 180, so I would say that's grosser.
That's grosser than what we saw yesterday.
I think so. To me, the grossest injury I've ever seen was Jason Kendall running down to first base and the bone going through, if we want to get detailed.
I tend to agree. I think that's the grossest. Now, Joe Theismann was 36 years old when his injury happened. Alex Smith is only 34, so he's a little bit younger. Do you think Alex Smith plays starting quarterback in the NFL again?
Yes, I do. I do. I think Alex Smith has been that hard a worker. Nothing's been given easy to him, even when everybody thought he was a first-round bust, that I do think Alex Smith finds a way back onto the football field.
I would agree. I don't know, as a starting quarterback, I could see him being a backup quarterback and then maybe getting in if somebody gets injured or ineffectiveness, but it's not going to be next year. He's probably out. Well, he is going to be out all of next year in my estimation, and that he would come back maybe 2020 at 36 to be a backup or a starting quarterback perhaps.
Yeah, I think Washington now is in the running to go draft a quarterback like they probably should have been doing anyway.
Yes. Yes. I mean,
you don't want to say an injury is a good thing for a franchise, but in reality, they were probably should have been drafting a quarterback.
Because anyway, at the very least, let's say at the best, it's a one-year rehab. You wouldn't get Alex Smith back until late next year. So you'd have to start the season anyway with somebody else.
Right, and correct me if I'm wrong, this was a three-year deal for Alex Smith, correct?
Yes, yeah.
So, I mean, by that point, let's go. Let's turn the page in Washington.
Let's go.
Well, listen, I feel very sorry for Alex
Smith. This guy's foot fell off. All right, let's go.
I mean, but you have to, as a franchise, just you got to move next step forward. We care about this guy, but let's go. We got to, you know, we got to move the franchise in the right direction.
So you don't trust Colt McCoy here?
Come on. Come on. I actually laughed when I typed out, could he be Nick Foles? Yeah, right. That team's going 0-6 the rest of the way.
It's going to be bad. It's going to be real bad, which totally opens up the door for the 8-8 or 9-7 Cowboys. You know what's going to happen.
The Eagles, Washington, and Dallas all can max out at 8-8. I looked at all their schedules, so I'm looking at the 9-7 Giants right now.
No,
I am.
No.
I am. I am. I'm sorry. No. I'm back
Why
in.
Why do you do this to yourself?
I spent the whole morning looking at schedules. No, I'm back in.
No.
I'm back in. It's
Come
Saquon.
On.
It's Beckham. It's, you know, here we go, hosting Minnesota on Wild Card Weekend.
So sad. You're setting yourself up for disaster. They're 3-7.
I know. I know. I don't even think they're good. It's more about the division. I didn't buy until Alex Smith's injury. You look at those schedules. The Giants are going 9-7, and they're winning this division.
No, they're not. They're not.
Yes, they
are. They're not going to win 7 straight games. There's no way.
It's only one game at a time, and as Odell has told us now for 2 straight weeks, it's only crazy until you do it. They are the worst team in football.
The New York Giants.
No, that was a drop. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
They were the worst team in football.
Yes.
They got, listen, they changed their offensive lineup now. Things have changed.
Oh,
Jamon Brown is now 9-0 this year. Is he only undefeated player? Mercury Morris can't pop that champagne.
Okay, wrong. Okay, they were 1-7. The New York Giants were 1-7, then beat an atrocious Niners team, and now just beat a Buccaneers team that doesn't even field 11 people on defense.
Look, you can only beat who's in front of you, D.A., and
oh,
now they
God.
Get the Eagles coming in real hurt.
Oh,
Giants licking their chops. They're 4-7.
Oh, they're going to get smashed by the Bears after that.
I don't know about that. Game's in the Meadowlands. At that point,
no.
The Giants would have won 3 in a row. Bears can't score with the Giants.
No, 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 no,
That's
no,
five
no,
and
no,
seven.
No. They're going to lose in Philly next week and then lose to the Bears. Then after that, in Washington, they could lose that game.
But winning that.
They'll probably lose to the Titans at home. Hmm. They're definitely losing at Indianapolis, as Andrew Luck and the Colts looked good yesterday.
I don't know.
And then they're definitely losing against the Cowboys in Week 17.
I see 6 wins across the board there.
I see 8-8, and that might be good enough.
Stop.
8-8 might be good enough.
You bogus? What would you even tricking his stupid
the
Dukas
door is
water?
Open. The Alex Smith
out of fish tanks like him?
No, the door is now open. Anything is possible in the NFC.
Wait a second. The door is open, yes, because Alex Smith got injured. But that still means the Giants have to win those football games. They're still a terrible team.
Have you seen this offense now?
Oh.
One of the best offenses in football.
They just beat the Buccaneers that don't have a defense.
Quarterback.
I wouldn't say juggernaut, but
they did the same offensive damage that the Saints did in week one, and the Saints lost to the Bucs.
Yeah, good point.
I'm just saying the Jamon Brown thing has changed the Giant offense. The man's undefeated this year. He's 9-0.
I mean, the biggest issue against them is just the sheer math of having to go 5-1 the rest of the way, but it's on the table.
Well, I think, Bogus, you're trolling me at this point because there's no way you believe they're winning at Philadelphia. As bad as the Eagles are, they're
not
winning.
My left arm is optimistic.
You're not willing to say they're going to win at Philly and then against the Bears.
No, I'm going to give you the Bears game. That's why they're not going to win out. That's why 8-8's doable.
So you think they're winning at Philly, at Washington, home of the Titans, at Indy, home of the Cowboys.
You want to tell me the Titans are going to come to New Jersey and win a game?
They have
to anything
do,
about them?
They have to do all of those things, though.
I know, but we're going week by week.
Excuse me. The Bears tied Brock Osweiler in Miami. They're going to come to New York. Suddenly they're going to stomp on Saquon and the Giants. Forgive me if I'm not just giving that a bear win.
I can't wait until the Giants get pounded by 50 points in all of these games for you guys. You know, they finish up at 4-12.
I wanted the first overall pick. I didn't want this to happen, but here we are, and I'm all in.
We might as well go forward.
We're
now.
All in now with three wins. And the Alex Smith injury.
I'm working with dopes here. I'm working
with
dopes.
We got.
Please, can you tweet some sense into these people here by hitting me up at DA on CBS? The New York Giants are not going 8-8. They're not going 9-7. They're going to be 4-12. They're going to get smashed by all of these teams. And these two bozos will have to shut up. Season's over.
7-9, baby.
When we come back here, sound check, your best audio of the day. And that includes Steve Kerr on the Warriors' friction, Ron Rivera on why he went for two, and Warren Sapp weighing in on Odell Beckham's Warren Sapp dance. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
I am a show enough D alien now, sir. I will be calling back soon. Thank you so much, DA from Starville. Hell State.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can check us out on Sirius XM Channel 206. That's right, Sirius XM Channel 206 to listen to the DA show. The rest of CBS Sports Radio right here. Every single day.
Aw, I love the da.
Food, family, fantastic football. It's a legendary rivalry between the Bears and the Lions. The tradition continues Thanksgiving Day with coverage beginning at noon Eastern time. How funny is it that the NFL moved Rams and Chiefs out of Mexico City tonight for player safety concerns? But they flexed the Bears into Sunday Night Football and allowed them to play the early game on Thanksgiving. Think about it. Yes, when you play on Thursdays, it's naturally a short week. But you play Thursday nights. And so if you play, say, the 1 o'clock game on Sunday Eastern time, the early window, and then play the 8:30 kick Thursday night, you're getting second half of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all day Thursday to get ready. For the Bears, they play Sunday night, have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and play first thing Thursday. So instead of it being a four-day rest, maybe four and a half in some cases, they get 3 days. How do you think the Bears are going to play on Thanksgiving? They basically get 3 days rest. Now, the Lions aren't exactly world beaters right now, but when the NFL hides behind the idea of player safety, I mean, let's get real here. It's only player safety when they have some type of finances or investment on the line. In this case, Mexico City, it's their invasion of other lands to push football across the globe. Because the NFL sees how well the NBA has done doing it. And every professional sports league here says, ooh, there's big markets and big populations elsewhere, so let's get some of that money as well. And the NFL wants to do so. And so they say, okay, well, where do they care about football? Because basketball, the NBA is in China and is in Africa and is in Asia and it's in South America and it's in Europe. And all of those places don't care about football. All of those places go, who cares? The NFL, what is that, huh? But they found a couple places. London kind of likes it. Germany kind of likes it. Mexico kind of likes it. So they're like, well, we better keep hammering these markets. Note, the NBA is like, China, 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 billions of people in China. The NFL is like, there's like 20 million people in London. Let's do that. Because nobody in China cares about the NFL. So risking international expansion and more money? No, no, the NFL can't do that by sacrificing perhaps Patrick Mahomes' ACL tonight on a crappy field in Mexico City where they play soccer on it twice a week in concerts and it rained for three straight weeks. Oh, no. No, 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 because if Alex Smith could go down yesterday, well, on a bad turf, Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce or Jared Goff or Todd Gurley, we can't risk that because then people will start saying, why did you play this game across season? Why are we playing this game across season? We should be saying that anyway. But the NFL said, we'll move this to LA for player safety. But yeah, the Chicago Bears, you guys can play Sunday night and then turn around and play Thursday first thing. Cool? Cool? We all cool here? All right, cool. Let's get to your best audio of the day. It is time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Ron Rivera, down by a point, about a minute and change to go in Detroit, decides we will go for two and the win. And Cam Newton, all the time in the world, overthrows his receiver, and ultimately the Panthers lose.
Well, I think you go for two on the road to win the game. And that's what I did at the end of the day. What's to say the coin toss is going to go in our favor? What's to tell you we're going to slap them? So why not go for two?
End of the day. I never noticed how Ron Rivera says end of the day. Die. Die. End of the day. We have that whole thing yet again, Dan Silverman, on the Wheels of Steel this morning. Play for me. Die.
So, well, I think you go for two on the road to win the game. And that's what I did at the end of the day. What's to say the coin toss is going to go in our favor? What's to tell you we're going to slap them? So why not go for two?
Game. Die.
What's to
die. Game. So Mraz had a hissy fit on Twitter yesterday about all the quote-unquote academics and analytics nerds that he thinks encourage Ron Rivera to do that. Can I just remind you, first of all, Mraz, that Ron Rivera's been doing this type of stuff for like the last three or four seasons, well before the analytics community started convincing people that this was the right idea.
Riverboat Ron, but Riverboat Ron hasn't been Riverboat Ron in about 3 years.
But Riverboat Ron was Riverboat Ron when the Panthers went to the Super Bowl 3 years ago.
Right, and after that, he stopped getting aggressive until yesterday, when it's become another fad again this year to do this.
Okay, so don't blame this on analytics, because he was doing this well before analytics. Number two, you're the same guy. I have no problem with Ron Rivera going for it right there. With a minute seven left, you've had a kicker. Graham Gano has been a disaster all day long. So you go, I've got 2 yards to get with a quarterback that's been largely great all game long. I think Cam could get me 2 yards and the win. I'm going to go for it right now. I've got no problem with that. I like when more coaches are more aggressive, because for years, NFL coaches have been so conservative. Just don't lose. We'll play for overtime. Do the right thing so I can't be criticized. All these guys forever have done the conservative thing so that people can't attack them. And here is Ron Rivera putting his big stones out there. I appreciate that. I applaud that. And I think the analytics would also tell you it's the right move as well. Not all of these are created equal, as Trent Dilfer told us earlier, but I like this move from Ron Rivera. But here you are crushing it, even though you trashed Mike McCarthy last week for punting on 4th and 2.
Totally, totally different scenarios. The Packers defense was obliterated with injuries. The Panthers defense could have made a stop easily versus the Lions on that next drive or in overtime. And like you said, Cam Newton going for that much, 350 and all of that, he could easily go down the field in overtime. The higher chance they lose that game, forget the higher chance they win that game, the higher chance they lose that game is by attempting a 2-point conversion there. Win the game in overtime.
Got 2 yards to get. 2 yards.
Did they get it? Did they get it? Doesn't matter. You have to take into account when you go for two that a quarterback can miss a wide open receiver.
Do not play the game, did they get it? Because
they didn't get it.
First of all, Cam Newton has all the time in the world.
Right.
And Cam Newton sails a pass over a wide open wide receiver.
But that's exactly the point. That can happen on a two-point conversion. Happens all the time. All game
long. Okay, well, guess what else can happen on an extra point? He could miss it.
There's a higher chance you're missing that two-point conversion than missing the extra point. I don't care that Gano's already missed two kicks.
The guy is wide open in the middle of the field, and Cam Newton just had to drop it over.
But quarterbacks miss those throws. Forget going for two all day long, even
really?
Elite quarterbacks.
Really?
Yes, people miss wide open receivers all game long, and that has to be taken into account, and analytics never figure that out.
Well, Graham Gano also missed a billion kicks yesterday, so are we going to take that into account?
Yeah, so, he's due to make one now.
So we're only going to take into account the analytics of a potential incomplete pass, but not a missed extra point.
When you weigh everything and mix it into a pot, there's a better chance you win that game in overtime. Bottom, you think Maryland should have gone for two? The same thing?
Yes.
No, they shouldn't have.
Absolutely.
They had Ohio State on a fourth down the drive before and needed a bogus pass interference. Keep playing.
Ohio State
couldn't stop them all day.
And Ohio State's the better football team. Ohio State's a 10-win team. Ohio State still has designs of the national championship. And Maryland has one play to win a football game. You go for it.
But they're going to have that chance in the second overtime or third overtime. Play on. Try to get a stop.
The idea there. See, this is where your logic is totally flawed, just because the idea there is, as the inferior team, you do, the longer you play, the more obvious the better team is going to have a chance at beating you.
That's okay? Cocky pop. Not because that they weren't. Ohio State was not the better team all day long Saturday. They weren't. Okay. Maryland went all day on them.
As soon as you use the word cocky pop, this discussion is over, because it's poppycock.
Ah, my bad.
Cocky pop. Stop. Steve Kerr on the Warriors and the adversity they're now facing.
But I've had a dream run for, you know, 4.5 years. We've had such a charmed existence in the last four seasons. So, yeah, of course, this is the toughest stretch we've been in. This is the real NBA. You know, we haven't been in the real NBA the last few years. We've been in this this dream, and so now we're faced with real adversity, and we gotta get out of it ourselves.
You the real MVP. This is the real NBA. The Warriors have lost three straight games to the Rockets, the Mavericks, and the Spurs ever since the suspension of Draymond Green, and I talked about this last week. The fact that the Warriors brass sided with Draymond Green shows you everything you need to know about this situation. They are worried about Kevin Durant's sensitivity. They are worried that Kevin Durant could hold a grudge. They are worried that Kevin Durant could leave in the offseason, which is hysterical. Because that means that Kevin Durant would make a decision on his legacy, his basketball happiness, where he wants to play, a potential, well, the dynasty that already is, because a teammate called him the B word. Because of that, Kevin Durant might leave us. No, Kevin Durant, don't leave us! Tells you all you need to know that organization knows KD is sensitive. They know he listens to it all. They know he's paranoid. They know he might leave, and nobody is allowed to say it. And Draymond said it. Draymond, you can't say that. And now they've lost three straight games. Hey, man, I hope the Warriors get knocked off in the playoffs. We know they're making the playoffs. I hope the boat capsizes. Because when the Warriors are so good that nobody can touch them, it's boring. It really is. It's totally boring. And for Steve Kerr to admit we have lived a charmed existence for 4 years, he's right. I mean, especially since they added KD the last 2 years, it's not even a challenge. I mean, it's like the varsity playing against the eighth graders. We know we're going to beat you. It's just by how much and if we want to win. So I love this, but still, it's not Thanksgiving yet. I'm not calling the Warriors season over by any stretch of the imagination, because it's only Thanksgiving. But it's nice to see them go through adversity. I mean, finally. And Warren Sapp on Odell Beckham doing the Odell Beckham dance. Now remember, Warren Sapp actually criticized Odell Beckham last week, prompting Odell to do his touchdown dance.
You said Odell Beckham Jr. isn't great.
No.
You still agree with that? What makes him great? I beg anybody to show me the greatness in it.
What was the, hold on a second, the deal that he signed?
Oh, you just want the money.
Well, he signed.
The money makes you great?
No, it doesn't.
I'm sorry, then Jamarcus Russell was great as hell when he got his $30 million in, right?
Please.
Well, he signed a 5-year, $95 million deal with the New York Giants.
Okay, and what's his numbers this year? Is he playing great? Are the Giants playing great? Is there anything in New York that's great other than Sam Darnold right now that someone would say great?
Well, you mentioned that he has an advantage because of the gloves.
Of course. I played in a time with those Newmans. Yeah. If a drop of water hit them, you ripped them off and threw them on the ground because they were done. The ball stops when those gloves hit. It stops the ball from rotating.
Where is Warren Sapp working now? Where is this from?
This is from Vlad TV.
Vlad TV?
VLAD TV. Ask me where Vlad TV is. It ain't in my cable package. I don't know. But this made the rounds on Twitter yesterday for people who didn't know why he was doing the Sapp dance, and this is what he said last week.
Warren Sapp, all of that argument's terrible. All of it is terrible. First of all, Jamarcus Russell got a rookie contract because he was the number one pick in the draft before there was a rookie wage scale. Odell Beckham got his money after performing in the NFL, so it was warranted. His giant contract was not based on what he did in college. Secondly, we have to discuss where Vlad TV is and what Warren Sapp is doing these days. Your toll-free line brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. GEICO.com. When we come back, that plus, are the Steelers different?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.